Good morning, everyone. How's everybody doing this morning? Welcome, welcome, welcome to our visitors. Welcome to all of our regulars. We're so happy you're here this morning. Sorry, everybody. I just need a little more length. All right, well, this morning, as I was praying, I felt in my spirit to go a different direction than what I was originally going to do. So if it seems like I'm nervous and it seems like I'm winging it, or maybe not winging it, maybe it's the Holy Spirit. Well, it is the Holy Spirit, but it is because I am nervous. So you actually might have a break today, Stephen, because I don't think I'm going to say anything that's on there. So you, as many of you know, my husband and I are trying to transition to be pastors here. And you guys are probably like, who is this woman? Like, I know her here, but I don't know her here. And so I really felt compelled this morning to share my testimony with you and just to share why I'm here today and why I have the faith to be up here and why I serve God. So I actually am going to read a verse in Job. Daniel sent me a video this week that I really, really, it really touched my heart. It was one that, like, this is me. And the verse is Job 42, and it's verse 7, and it says, after this, so context, Job, I'm sure many of you know the story, but if you don't, that's okay. Job had everything taken from him, completely, just everything. And his faith was tested in that. And he had three friends that came to him. And these three friends basically came to knock him while he was down. They told him, well, maybe this all happened because you sinned. And you're not living right by God. And Job, like, would continuously counter them. And God, Job was actually, throughout the book, crying out to God. He's like, the Lord has cursed me, but the Lord is still good. The Lord, like, he was angry and frustrated because everything was taken from him, his livestock, his family, his home. And he, like, you see this struggle in him that he loves God, he knows God, but he's broken and he's grieving. And so the verse says here in verse 7, it says, after the Lord had finished speaking to Job, he said to Eliphaz the Temanite, I am angry with you and your two friends, for you have not spoken accurately about me as my servant Job has. I find that interesting because Job was angry when he was crying out to God. And at one point he does say, the Lord has cursed me. But God says that he has spoken accurately about him. And so when I was watching this video, the man says, how could it be that Job was the one who spoke accurately about them and not the friends? And it's because Job was real before God's eyes. He laid his burdens at God's feet. He spoke accurately about God because he's like, but I know this is my, like, I know that my God is the one that can carry me through this, that despite what I'm going through, this is him. And so my story I don't want to say it's similar to Job's in the sense that I got everything taken from me, but in the sense that I have always known that God is with me, but I've had my moments where I was angry with God and I was crying out to God. So I have been in church my whole life. I have been a Christian. I have followed God pretty much since I gave my life to Christ at the age of 12, and that's when I got baptized as well. And I always knew, like, God was with me. Like, that was something I could declare. But I didn't have a deeper connection with God. I feel like if I can look back now, I can say that my walk with God was heavily dependent on other people's faith, not my own faith. And so I my dad was a pastor. Well, actually, before that, my dad was a co-pastor for my uncle. And we were in a church in Maywood, and I grew up serving in the church. Even at a young age, I was helping out with the babies, and I was helping out with the youth, and I was, I loved worshiping. I've always loved worshiping. I didn't start getting on the worship team until I was in high school, but, you know, like the kids' choir, I did that. And around from eighth grade going into high school, I always had sexual sin looming over me. Not because I was the one sinning, but people sinned against me. At a very young age, I experienced just men not treating a child as they should, right? Men I have in church scrutinizing me for things that I would wear in church. And so that kind of sin was always looming over me. And then in eighth grade, going into my freshman year of high school, I was sexually assaulted by, it was someone my age, but I didn't want it to happen to me. And so throughout high school, I always, and when that happened, actually, I felt immense shame because I thought I did something wrong. I went to my mom, and I phrased it like it was my choice, like I did something wrong, but it wasn't my choice. And so I remember her telling me, well, that's something you just got to take to God. Like that's something you just got to sit with God with. And I remember going to God and I was crying and asking for forgiveness for something that was not my fault. And throughout my entire walk with God, there was always shame. I never fully understood God's grace and love for me. And so there was always shame. Even if I sinned and, like, maybe I, like, gossiped or had a foul mouth, there was always this immense shame. And every time I'd go to church, my church did altar calls, and it felt like every week I was coming before God, falling on my knees, crying out to God, I sinned against you. And there was just always shame and guilt in my life. And it got worse when I was in high school because I was the one committing the sexual sin. Like I was, I would have sex at a young age, and so I was constantly feeling that shame, that emptiness in me. But I knew God was with me. Like I knew it. I knew that he was for me and that he wasn't against me. I knew that he loved me, but I don't think I fully understood it. And when I was in my senior year of high school, my dad got diagnosed with cancer. And I was very angry with God. And I would tell people that I was angry with God, and they would be like, well, how can you be angry with some an all-powerful being. Like, that's, it's, it almost, if like, felt wrong. But I was like, no, because he knows my heart regardless. He knows that I am angry. And so I'd rather come to him angry and than not to come to him at all, right? And so when I found out my dad was diagnosed with cancer, it was weird. It's like I was getting closer to God, but also, like, being more rebellious. And so I was like, it was the most I had ever experienced God. Like, during worship, it was the most I'd experienced from him. And even, like, outside of church, like, we were praying a lot for my dad. And in the hospital room, like, the presence would come to the hospital room. Like, nurses were getting their lives saved, and doctors were getting the gospel spoken to them. And, like, the Spirit would fall. And I, like, had these close encounters with God. And at the same time, I was still so mad at him, and I wanted to rebel, and I wanted to do things my way. And just, I had more relationship with guys, and then eventually I met Daniel, and, it was definitely God that brought him to my life, because Daniel started to guide me and show me how to have a deeper relationship with God. He showed me how to read the Word, and he showed me how, like, to pray, because I never had that, like, every day on your knees in prayer, but I saw Daniel do it, and I was like, well, maybe, you know, I keep saying that I can't hear from God, and I don't feel God, so maybe I should try that. And so I would, but it was still, like, surface level, and still, like, I don't know. Like I said, it's like I was getting closer to him, but also pulling away. And then there was one night, while I was grieving, actually but after my dad passed away, every night I would get, I don't know if you guys would, if you've ever heard of sleep paralysis, but I personally believe it was just very much demonic oppression over me. Every night I would have night terrors. I would feel like I can't move, I can't speak, I can't scream. Sometimes I'd wake up and it looked like Daniel had, like, a demonic face. And there was one specific night that I was laying, and I'm a stomach sleeper, so I was laying on my stomach, and I felt something crawling up my back. And it, like, there was a screeching sound in my ear. And then all of a sudden, a wind came through the room, and it disappeared. And that wind, I know it was the Holy Spirit. And I remember getting on my knees that night, and I was saying, God, I don't want it anymore. I don't want the depression. I don't want the grief anymore. I don't want the anxiety. I give it to you. You're obviously here with me. So please take it. Take it. And I wish I could tell you that it was like an instantaneous thing. But no, my story is one of a long haul walk. It was quite literally a marathon of struggle and fighting back and forth with God. It took a lot of me making a choice every day to choose God. Like, I think we often hear testimonies where people are, it's instantaneous, that they knew, like, Daniel's is beautiful, and his is like that, where, like, he knew, and then his life flipped. I mean, obviously, he's still running the marathon, right? But, like, when his encounter with God, but mine, because I always was in the church, and I always knew God, mine was different. Mine is a choice. I had to make a choice every day. God, I choose you. God, I need you. And if I could even be more honest with you, it wasn't even until a year ago that I even developed a relationship with the Scriptures and learning to read the Bible every morning, every day. Because it was in the Scriptures that I found the deepest connection with God. It was in the Word that I heard Him speaking to me so clearly. I have never experienced God's voice in like an audible voice. I've never experienced any of that. But I know that if I need to hear from God and I pick this up and I say, Lord, speak to me, he speaks. And it's the same even with prayer. I know that if I need him, I can come in prayer. And so that's my testimony. That is who I am. That is why I'm here today. That is why I follow God. And I imagine that I can't be the only one here this morning that has felt that knows exactly everything that I've said, that maybe you've always known God and you know that you can rely on him and trust him, but it's always been a surface level connection. It's never been a deep connection. And you know that he's your God, right? Like you've made that choice, but you haven't quite made the daily choice to be with him, connect with him. And this is probably going to be short. This is going to be a short sermon today. But I really felt that there was someone, just even if it's one person, that needed to hear that today. One person who needed to know that maybe you don't have the instantaneous feeling of God, that you make that choice and your life is going to turn around. Maybe you have the long haul version. Maybe it looks like making small choices every day to choose God. Maybe it looks like, all right, well, I'm going to get up and I'm going to try reading the word this morning. And then the next day, okay, it was really a beautiful time yesterday. I got to do it again. And then maybe you wake up the third day and you're like, I don't want to as much, but I know that this is how I'm going to hear him. And so you make that choice. It's making that daily choice. So, and I don't know. Just, I hope that has touched somebody's heart this morning. And I want to urge you to make that daily choice with him. And even if you're someone who has experienced really negative feelings toward God, but you know he's your God, you might as well just take it to him. And he can handle it. Amy always tells me, he can handle it. He can take it. And he can. If there's something burdening you, and maybe you're frustrated and angry, and you don't know why God has... Maybe you don't know why that this is the path of your life, right? Just take it to him. I promise you, he can take the punches. If anybody can take the punches, it's him. And it's because he loves you. And his grace is abounding for you. And if you also don't understand his grace and love, and you are someone who has experienced immense shame, every time you sin, you experience shame and guilt. Every time you come to him, you feel like he's angry with you. I'm here to tell you today that is not the case. Shame is not from God. That is from the devil. And we call it out as such. He is a God of grace and mercy, and he actually loves you so much that he said, you know what, I don't want your sins to lead you to death, so I'm going to take your sins, I'm going to die the death that we all should have had instead. And he took it, nailed it to the cross, and he says, it's done, it is finished. So your sins, if they're bringing you shame, you call them out, you bring them before the Lord. And his grace and mercy are flooding over you. That is all. Yeah. Worship team, you could please come up. If everybody could please stand. Feel free to place some music. All right.
Mm.